College Golf Talk is back. We're not on site, but Burko and Brentley with you. Had some fun Sunday at Hilton Head with Darius Rucker and Greg Allen and Kalen Anderson. We'll get to another interview you did with Preston Stout, one of the standouts from Oklahoma State, who's back in the winner's circle. That comes on the back end of this edition of College Golf Talk. But you're back in the city, beautiful. You've got Bay Hill. I had travel issues this morning out of Savannah, but we made it. And we go right to Chicago tomorrow for some A-10 basketball on the weekend. That's what we do.
I think we need to hear about these travel issues.
Flat tire. Got on the plane, 6:40. We're all loaded up. Captain comes on. Couldn't have been nicer. He's like, I'm going to shoot you straight. We have a flat tire. And it wasn't noticed overnight. Savannah, small airport, not a hub of anything. So they have to call maintenance to come, and they're not on site. Saw that it was a flat, needed to be changed, had to drive 30 minutes to a warehouse to get the flat, to drive 30 minutes back to take an hour to fix it.
So how do they jack up the plane to...
I think it's like a little hydraulic, just to, the guy literally opened up a set of hand tools, and I mean, it was comical.
Would have been quicker to drive.
That 8-hour drive would have been shorter.
Only eight? Oh man, I would have.
Now, if it's more than a tank of gas, unless you're escaping an ice storm, I won't drive. It's got to be done in a tank of gas, or it's too far.
Well, I have to apologize to our listeners, and I don't think I told you, but I got these fancy mics right for our live podcast on Sunday.
Yes. Oh boy.
And they're on. The green lights are on, but I forgot to adjust the settings in StreamYard. So our outdoor interviews with Kalen Anderson and Greg Allen, we were using the mic from my MacBook about 10 feet away. So I did what I could. It was okay audio quality, but the important part, I got it fixed when we were inside with Darius, and now we're good to go. I mean, you can't learn without failure, and so will never happen again.
Fair enough. Speaking of the Darius Rucker intercollegiate, wrapped up on Wednesday. Who did you ask me, what do you think? And I believe my words were, I'm bullish on Texas. I've been waiting for it. Boom. The 1-2 punch delivers. Cindy Hsu steps up big in the final round. Farrah O'Keefe wins for the third time, second at Long Cove. It's what I've been waiting to see from them. And that's a heck of a feel on a really good golf course. So maybe it's the beginning of something.
Well, this was a team that I think I may have argued coming into the season, they were number two behind the Stanford Cardinal. And the name you didn't mention, Lauren Kim, tied for seventh. You know, that's kind of the recipe, right? I mean, there's a three-headed monster at the top. And they're talking with Laura Iannello on Sunday before the tournament started. She said, if I could just get more consistency from the back end of the lineup. You know, I'm not worried about Farrah O'Keefe, Lauren Kim, Cindy Hsu. They've proven it time and again. Didn't get great performance from Angela Huff, but when Farrah O'Keefe goes and shoots 7-under and wins the tournament, just kind of proves that sometimes all you need is three.
Yeah. It's good. And you know what? Tip of the cap to Florida State.
Oh, yeah.
Played really well. I'm intrigued to see more of Elin Pudas Remler, the transfer from Kentucky to Florida State. She was up to the challenge. She hit shots on that back nine. She made that putt on 16 that O'Keefe topped her on. And she had a look on the last. Not bad for someone kind of still figuring out the college game. And I mean, that is a compliment, just getting the reps under a belt. Amy Bond's really good coach. You lose Mirabelle Ting, you lose Lottie Woad, and you think, hey, they might not get above 500. They might not get through regionals. They're pretty good. I mean, they're
this helps.
Yeah, they're in that 7 to 15 range. I mean, the rankings said they were lower, but this will boost them up. Sophia Fulbrook's sneaky good there. She can coach. She really can. You know, anyone can coach the 1-2 in the world. What are you doing when you lose them?
And she celebrated her birthday as well. So, I mean, what a week.
Big 5-0, I believe she said.
Yeah. But how about the bottom of the leaderboard, Berko? I mean, I'm looking at some of these names, Arizona in 14th, Arizona State 16th, now without Patience Rhodes. The plan is for her to be back from, you know, that injury for the Augusta National Women's Amateur. But in dead last, 17th place, the host South Carolina Gamecocks. I think that's a Darius Rucker first for them, finishing last in that field. They're in
trouble. Talk about a young team. Yeah, Ella Galitsky, top 5, top 6 finish, I believe. They've got some work to do to grow up quickly, or they could see things end early May.
Oh, Ella Galitsky, you see what she shot in the final round?
No, did I? I was only on the call.
77.
Okay, well, then maybe she didn't.
She ended up slipping. Yeah, she ended up slipping back to 25th. But she was in contention.
Correct. That's what may. I'm thinking Tuesday. My apologies and thanks.
But they weren't in the coverage window, Berko.
Yeah,
so
that's that's trouble.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, you know, they got a transfer in Alicia Olson from Campbell, but you don't quite know just how. You know, going from mid-major to the very elite level in college golf, sometimes those transitions don't happen. That hasn't happened yet. Laura Knepper, a really talented freshman, but she shoots 80 in the final round, finishes solo 87th. Molly McLean, 89th. I mean, this is it might be time to sound some alarm bells in Columbia, unfortunately, yeah. Because they've been good for so long and coming off an SEC championship as well.
Yeah. Great week there. Bob Patton, director of golf, Rob Ryan, tournament chair for a decade. You were there for part of it. Thousands of people throughout the week, and I'm not exaggerating. There are more people there, maybe even than NCAA championships. It's that close. And they're not members. The members are there, but they get another 1,000 to 1,200 a day of people coming in off the street. College
in
golf.
Early March. Yeah, yeah, it's not like it's May.
No, but
May.
The last day was magnificent. 72, sunny, gentle breeze, and they brought them in by the trolley loads from across the street in the church parking lot. So as good as anything there is, we're lucky to be a part of it for the last 5 years and hopefully many more to come. That was the good stuff on the East Coast. Out West, Battle of the Bay, Stanford women against San Jose State. Uh-oh, Stanford lost.
They're 0-2 in match play now. 0-2.
They've lost more matches than they've lost to teams in stroke play.
How about that? It just shows, and we talk about this, right? The great equalizer is always match play. Now San Jose State, they've had some great years in recent years. They made match play just a couple of years ago at Greyhawk as well. But this isn't the same team that Dana Dorman has had. You know, they have some youth, they have some inexperience, they have some players who, you know, was something to prove. And I was able to chat with her a little bit on the phone. And, you know, one thing, they're just very grateful that they get to play a team like Stanford every year in this kind of format. It's kind of they meet halfway at Los Altos, and it's more of a home game for San Jose State, but just the experience, you know, for her squad to face a team like Stanford. But then lo and behold, they go and win 4 of the 6 matches. So, I mean, this is a huge deal for a team that's way under 500. She did the math. They're going to have to win each of their next 2 stroke play events to get above 500, but yet they're still the top ranked team in their conference in the Mountain West. So, probably going to get the AQ, but I think every other team, a Texas, a USC, a Texas A&M, they're looking at this result saying, see guys, like all we have to do is make the top 8 and look what can happen. And I'm a little worried about Megha Gane. Loses 6-4 in her match. Wasn't particularly in it at all.
But when she was out of the tournament the week prior, wasn't it a little ankle injury? Am I recalling right?
Ankle issue. So we'll see. We'll see her at Augusta National, and we'll see how she looks there. But they'll be fine. I mean, it's like we said.
But it doesn't mean they're going to win it all. And I know that will ruffle the feathers of some out there. But those are the cards that college golf's dealt, and you got to find a way to get it done. But it does kind of make you think, and I think you hit it on the head perfectly. A down San Jose State team can do it. If you're any one of the top 10 or 15 teams, you're like, oh, we got this.
Huh?
We'll find out in a couple months. Some other women's results. Pepperdine, a big win over Cal Poly at the Fresno State Classic. UCF continuing to play well, 13 clear at Kent State at the Lady Luck Invitational. High Point winning the Daniel Island Invitational by half dozen over NC State. Georgia State by three, the Puerto Rico Iguana Invitational.
That's a good
one. A lot of events down there in Puerto Rico. North Carolina Wilmington 20 clear of Kennesaw State at River Landing Classic. We'll go from the women to the men again. Preston Stout interview Oklahoma State with Brentley coming up in just a few moments. Stetson by 21 over Baylor at the Sam Ryder Intercollegiate. Well, I'll be darned, didn't Sam Ryder play college golf at Stetson for the Hatters?
He did, and he went to Winter Park High School as well.
Oh, I did. Oh, Winter, I did not know that.
Winter Park native. Yeah, he. There's a mutual friend that goes to my church. I think he's really good friends with Sam's dad, so does a lot of golf trips with him. So yeah, Sam, pride of Central Florida. But yeah, Baylor wasn't supposed to play in this event, by the way. I don't think they were expecting to go in and lose by 21, but they were supposed to play in Cabo. But I think, you know, issues in Mexico, even considering that Cabo wasn't within the, whatever you call it, that it wasn't part of the travel advisory. I think they wanted to be overly cautious, and they were looking for a tournament to play in. I had heard they called a few spots, and I guess this is where they landed, and Stetson took him to the woodshed a little bit.
Mm. Kentucky also went in South Carolina, the Colleton River Classic. Though just, what did you write here? 25 shots separate first and 15. So a sort of jam-packed, congested leaderboard.
That was right near us at Darius.
Yeah, just down the road, about maybe 20 minutes or so, give or take.
Do you remember who won a U.S. Junior at Colleton River? It wasn't in the Golf Channel days. So.
Nah, I think it's Philip Barbary.
It was. Yeah, he was five down with eight holes to play, won in 37 holes, beat Andrew Orishak, who I am still convinced to this day he just evolved into Sam Stevens. Dead ringers look exactly alike. I think Andrew Orishak, because he's kind of disappeared from the golf scene, I think he's actually Sam Stevens.
Investigation upcoming. Nevada by a touchdown and an extra point over Pacific at the Watney. Those are some men's results because there were two headliners. Let's first start Southern Highlands out in Vegas. Christian Moss wins for Texas. The Longhorns fourth without Daniel Bennett. He's playing at Bay Hill this week. Virginia hanging on to beat Auburn. And when I saw that result, and you and I have been going back and forth, wide open, who could it be? You know what? Right now, the answer is right in front of us. The Virginia Cavaliers are the team to beat.
Yeah, and they've been going back and forth, too. Maxi Pereger is now the fifth guy, replacing Michael Lee. And so that I think that's going to continue to be a battle and something to watch out for. But Ben James, look, we've talked about him extensively the last couple of pods, but Josh Duongmini, the rise that he has had this spring, he's got back-to-back runner-up finishes. He's now ranked in the top 10 individually in the nation. If he can play like that in late April at conference and regionals and nationals, this is a much more dangerous team than we saw last year. They're more experienced. They're more confident. Again, Auburn looks great. They have the best player in the country, but Ben James isn't that far behind. And I think Virginia 2 through 4 is as good as anyone, except for maybe Texas on paper.
Yeah.
But again,
I'm reactionary saying it, but we keep talking about Virginia. And I'm like, you know what? Right now, if you said they're playing everyone tomorrow, I'm taking the Cavaliers.
Taking Virginia. I mean, it would be a heck of a story, right? I mean, they win their first ACC title in program history last year. They get to the final. They lose. Really emotional to come back and do it again. Kind of reminds me a little bit of maybe the trajectory of Alabama, you know, 10, 12, 14 years ago or so. The runner-up, the emotional runner-up at Riviera to Texas, and then, boom, they win the next each of the next 2 years. But I know you weren't following the live scoring because you were doing the broadcast for Darius, but I was locked into this, and I don't want to go too much on this, but I think it's worth being brought up. The last group were missing their scores for the 10th hole as they came down to the wire. So I'm looking at their leaderboard, and Virginia is a shot ahead or two shots ahead or something. Might have been two shots. But I have no idea what Paul Chang and what Brian Lee made on the 10th hole. So, I mean, what other sport are you watching as it comes or following as it comes down to the wire where scores from 2 hours earlier in the contest aren't in there, and you have no idea if what you're watching is actually accurate? I mean, someone could have made a triple bogey and it could have been like, oh, well, Virginia's got this in the bag. But I think it ruins the experience when you're missing, and it's golf. Just go out, send someone out or text someone.
Ask
a volunteer. Go track down that score. You have 2 hours to do it. There's no excuse. I understand a scoring error. It was put in wrong. No one has any idea. But at the same time, you know, I think the onus is a little bit on the coaches as well. I mean, you know, they're following the scores, so they should say, "Hey, like my guy made this and that." I don't know. I mean,
it happens more often than you would know. Yeah, yeah. It's good for once a week. You know, sometimes it's on TV and we catch it. Sometimes it's people hitting refresh.
But if you're a casual fan, Perko, and you're
on Twitter, you don't know, and you
love golf, and all of a sudden you see someone tweet out the leaderboard like, oh, coming down to the wire at Southern Highlands, and you click on it and you're like, wait, there's no score. You're like, I'm done.
Yeah.
So, and not to mention, you go and click on any random player in the rankings in the top 50. Chances are, when you click on it, their year of school is way wrong. Farrah O'Keefe is still listed as a first year.
I mean, it's junior.
It's that, like, people gripe about the rankings, people gripe about the live scoring, whatever. Just the quality control and the accuracy of the data is the most important thing. The rankings are what they are. They're rankings. They're fine. I think they're okay. Like, you look at them on their face, they're fine. But the data needs to be accurate, and it needs to all be there. So
we're gonna put you in charge to figure it all out.
No, I don't want to be in charge because I don't know how to do it. But you know, if you're charging money and it's supposed to be what you do, you should be able to deliver. So
I agree. All right, good one in Vegas. Another good one down at Cabo, Oklahoma State, getting edged by a single shot. Arkansas getting the job done, but Cowboy Preston Stout, 7-shot win. We'll hear from him in just a moment. John Daly II, Philip Jakubczyk, both at Cabo, both head to Puerto Rico. I think JD II played well here in the opening round. I think he was in the mix. So we'll see how they pan out, maybe make the weekend. That'd be pretty good. But maybe it's the team that finished third that gets all the eyeballs when you take a look at the leaderboard.
Yeah, that's going to immediately jump out to people is Rice University in third, beating teams like Ole Miss and Tennessee and a bunch of teams that have been to regionals, you know, a bunch in the last decade or so, or really in perpetuity in college golf. But Rice is a team, they haven't been to a regional since 2014. That's when they won their conference championship. They actually had a kid on that team who's from my hometown in Oviedo, Florida, Kevin Riley. But before that, you have to go back 75 years for the last time they had won a conference title. So all, like, never been a national championship, never, you know, been to one NCAA regional. But talking to their head coach, Justin Amiel, like, he's been there a while now. This is his 15th season. Now, he started back in 2011, 2012, when they finished dead last in almost every tournament they teed it up in. But he was telling me, he goes, you know, coming from being an assistant coach and having a head job, like, I was still, like, so fired up to be coaching. And he just kept believing. And I think a big turning point for them was a couple years ago, finally getting their own facility. There's a nearby nine-hole private club that they worked out a deal with, opened a three-bay facility, ended up getting, you know, Daniel Zhao, who is their highest-ranked recruit ever. But then you add that this year to Lucas Bondel, who's a 24-year-old senior. He took his military service in Austria. He did that before coming to college. He's the leader of this team. And then a name that you might recognize and kind of fits with what we were talking about earlier, and that's Henry Daly. He actually started at Rice, transferred to Virginia, wasn't a good fit, and he said, you know, I'll come back. So he's back at Rice, finished eighth in Cabo. This is a sneaky team. They're up to 50th right now in the rankings. They're one of 9 mid-majors in the top 50 right now, 14 mid-majors in the top 56. But this is a team that believes. And I said, look, how do you celebrate this? And he goes, you know, it's a great finish, but these guys were in the van riding to the airport saying, like, this is great, but we didn't win. So the expectations are high, even though they've really not done this before.
Team, we're going to keep an eye on the rest of the regular season, see if they can maybe continue and progress and not get choked up under the gun to make it all happen. So good get out of you talking to Justin down there at Rice. Another good get by you catching up with Preston Stout, fresh off his victory at Cabo. Brentley with Preston here on College Golf Talk.
Well, I think this guy will be player of the week across the board, no matter what outlet. He might even be player of the week in other conferences when he went by 7 shots at the Cabo Collegiate. But Preston Stout is this week's guest on College Golf Talk. Preston, let's start with the big news. Did that victory feel as dominant on that final day as it looked to us?
It was kind of weird. Just on the back nine, I felt like it was pretty stress-free. Kind of got off to a rocky start, bogeyed the first two holes, then birdied the third and kind of righted the ship. And I was pretty stress-free coming down the stretch, other than the fact that the team was right there tight with Arkansas. So I was kind of trying to stay focused to try to make a couple birdies to get us the team win too. Individually speaking, it was pretty stress-free. And it's nice when you have a big lead like that coming down the stretch. So.
It's such a different dynamic in college golf, right? Because if this is an individual tournament, you know, it's kind of like, how do you stay motivated? How do you keep the pedal down?
But for sure,
you know, you were probably what, 100% focused on the team race at that point.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I don't really look at leaderboards or anything when I'm playing, but I had our assistant coach Stratton walk with me, and on 14. I asked him, or on 15, I think I asked him like how our team was doing. He said it was really tight, and I think we were down a couple shots. So that kind of helped me snap back into it and really focus up for the final few holes. To try to make a birdie or two coming in. It definitely helps help me stay focused a little bit. Trying to help out the team. So,
could you sense a week like this coming? Maybe in prep last week or in the practice round, or was there something that clicked in your game or something you changed that may have indicated that you could go and rattle off some rounds like this?
I was definitely felt like I was trending nicely all spring. I didn't play great this fall. And then I have had a couple decent finishes early this spring and Yeah, I felt like my game was in a good spot in practice leading up to the trip. And, you know, we played a couple of rounds for fun when we got there, and I was playing nice. So, yeah, I kind of felt it coming, and I thought I was kind of due to string a whole tournament together. The last couple of tournaments, it seems like I've been playing good, but then I just had like these 9-hole stretches or 12-hole stretches where I just didn't play great. So, yeah, I felt like I was kind of due to be able to put a whole solid tournament together, and I did. So, yeah, great confidence going into the rest of the spring. So,
people think about Cabo and they think about the tacos and the beach and all this extracurricular stuff. Does Coach Bratton let you guys play practice rounds or kind of play those rounds for fun, like barefoot and in swim trunks, like you see some of these guys?
Yeah, you know, you see some of those teams doing that. We don't really do any of that.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I think we're just trying to take advantage of all the time we get on the golf course, and then off the golf course is kind of when we can relax and go to the beach, go to the pool, kind of just kick it and hang out. Yeah, it seems like when we are on the golf course, we're fairly focused on trying to, you know, do the best we can and get the most out of when we're out there. But yeah, off the course, it's by far the best tournament of the year. You know, our donor puts us up in his house, and it's pretty sweet. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. So
yeah, it's nice to have donors with big houses
for sure. Yeah.
So you played a lot of golf this past summer. You know, whether it was USAM and being a medalist there and making a run, or Walker Cup. I mean, that's a long week too, even though it's only 2 competition days. Mm-hmm. But what was your energy level like when you got back to school? Was the tank pretty low?
Yeah, it was for sure. Definitely felt a little burnout there. Felt like I kind of needed some time off. And kind of felt that just kind of through practice, not being super motivated to want to practice. And I think I kind of saw that in my play a little bit in the fall.
No, you're good. All right, we're back.
I felt like I kind of saw some of that in the fall of me just being a little burnout. But then, yeah, I got a good month or two off and got to kind of just hang out and chill and do a lot of hunting, which is usually not good for my game. It's kind of my therapy. And then, yeah, I came out this spring swinging. So, definitely it's hard when you get to the end of the year just because, you know, pretty much from February till end of October, it's all gas. So, I definitely tend to get a little burnout towards the end of the year. So,
now, is it true that when you were in junior golf, would you skip events like, I don't know, let's say junior players or something like that because it was in the middle of hunting season? Is that a true statement, or is that just kind of an urban legend?
Yeah, that is true. Actually, junior players was always on the opening weekend of dove season. That's a big deal for my family. We always go out to West Texas and the whole family gets together and we have a good weekend. So yeah, I did. I tend to do that. I tend to do that a couple times. You know, Rolex was always right there in the middle of the rut for deer season. So I was always skipping that one too. So I definitely miss out on a little more hunting now that I'm in college and don't really have a choice to play or not. But that happened a little bit during junior golf for sure. But I think it worked out all right. So
didn't Walker Cup overlap with dove season?
Yeah, I always miss dove season now that I'm in college. So usually we're doing qualifying for our first event during opening weekend. And then, yeah, Walker Cup was right there in the middle of it too. So.
But looking at your Instagram, you got away a little bit this winter. what stands out?
Yeah, definitely got to do plenty of hunting this winter. We're big goose hunters in Oklahoma, so that's about all we do is goose hunt and duck hunt and some deer hunting too. So, it was fun. We had a really good season this year with the guys, so it was a lot of fun.
Did you see those big bucks at Cypress and that one that was
roaming
the 17th fairway while you were getting ready to earn the retaining point?
Yeah, I did. There's a bunch of mule deer out there. But yeah, that bigger buck ran right in front of me before I hit my shot on 17 to finish out my match, which is kind of cool.
I think I wrote about that being inspiration to you.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom thought she'd tell me it was a sign that you were going to win.
She's smart. How much do you still think about that week? Because, I mean, that was a huge deal for you. I mean, USAM mm-hmm. was great as well, but to be a part of such a, you know, exclusive group like that and play for Nathan and, you know, mm-hmm. be on the same team with a teammate and, you know, some other guys that you've grown up around. How much do you still think about what that week did for you?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, all the guys that are there, we still talk about it all the time. Me and Fang talk about it all the time. I mean, it was the most fun and special week of golf I've had in my career so far. I mean, it was amazing. Just Cypress Point, first of all, was just insane. And to be able to have play such a special event at that place was pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. And then to be able to, you know, I think, you know, another part that was cool is, you know, you're used to always trying to beat those guys and competing against them. So for us to be able to be on the same team and you know, prep together and compete together was really, really fun. I think a lot of us grew some pretty deep relationships that week and really got to know each other a lot better, which was awesome also. So
how much swag do you get that week? And how much of it did you give away? How much of it do you still have? And how much do you wear kind of occasionally?
Yeah, a ridiculous amount. They drip us out for sure. But yeah, I definitely gave some away to some buddies. I mean, they gave us so much. I'm never going to wear all that. But I don't really wear that much of it. If I ever do, I get crap from Bratton about it. So thinks I'm showing off. So I usually keep it in the closet. But yeah, they gave us some pretty sweet stuff that I'll definitely keep forever. So
mm-hmm. Let's kind of turn the clock back a little bit. What was your recruiting process like? What was it always Oklahoma State, or give us kind of a peek behind the curtain into the decision making process and why you ended up where you ended up?
Yeah, I didn't really know where I wanted to go. I knew I kind of wanted to stay somewhat close to home and kind of close to where my high school buddies were. It was kind of, for me, it was really between here and OU and Texas were kind of my, I nailed it. Those were my main three. But yeah, you know, I visited OU first and I loved it. And I kind of thought that was kind of where I was going to go. And then I came here, and I came during our pro-am weekend and just saw the support from the whole school and from our donors and just kind of saw how important and how big of a deal golf is, in Stillwater and at Oklahoma State. And just the amount of support that we have, and just loved our coaches, loved the golf course. And then, yeah, when I left, I knew this is where I wanted to be. So it was an easy decision after I kind of saw it here, and it was just a perfect fit for me. You know, I get to do everything I love off the golf course, and then the golf aspect is obviously, I think, the best in the country. So,
what's the fishing situation around Karsten? Because it's pretty really good, right?
It's really good.
Do you think Alder stocks the lakes there, or do you think it's just?
I don't know. I think they probably did at one point. I know they don't anymore. But yeah, the fishing's really good, especially it's starting to get really good. Pre-spawn's coming up, so I've been starting to fish a little bit. We just need it to warm up a little bit. But yeah, it's really, really good and really fun. And a lot of the guys on the team like to fish, so that's a cool thing we get to do together, you know, after practice. So yeah, it's fun.
Who's the best angler?
I mean, I think I'd have to say myself, but yeah. Fang's pretty good. Gavin's pretty good. And then, yeah, some of the other guys are kind of trying to get into it. So we're kind of trying to teach them the ropes a little bit, show them the ropes. But yeah, it's fun.
Where do you feel like your game has improved the most since when you first stepped on campus?
Yeah, for me, I think my wedging has gotten a lot better. Just really knowing how far my ball's going, it was really big, and Coach Bratton's helped me with that a lot. That's something that I probably spend most of my time with is my wedging and short irons, just scoring clubs. You know, with how far the ball's going now, I mean, it doesn't matter what course we're playing. we're all hitting a lot of wedges. So I think that's definitely what's improved for me the most. And then I would probably say being a more consistent putter, especially kind of inside 10 feet. That was something I struggled with a lot in junior golf, was consistently rolling it well. And I feel like I've become a good putter now. And, that's just taken, I think, a lot of stress off the rest of my part of my game. I think maybe that's why my wedging's also gotten better, because, knowing I don't have to hit it to gimme every time, you know, to make a birdie. So being able to aim away from flags, definitely is a little less stressful. So, yeah, those are probably the two biggest things that I've seen improvement in my game since I've been here. So
do you change the trad like often with the wedges, or do you kind of have a stock that you prefer?
Yeah, I mean, I think playing in Oklahoma and with how windy it is, you have to, and we all get really good at, you know, changing trajectories, you know, whether that's off speeding or using different clubs. But yeah, I love to control. I like to hit it a little lower with my wedges and control the trajectory. And I think that's just because growing up playing in Texas and now Oklahoma, it's windy every day. So yeah, that's something I do pretty often. I think flight and wedges and being able to control spin is huge. And, that's, I think, another reason why my wedging has gotten better. Just knowing how to control spin and trajectory is huge, especially when playing in the wind. So,
does my memory serve me correct that did you change your putting grip maybe in the last year or two, or have you tinkered at all with the putter?
I have, yeah. I was always a blade guy, you know, in high school and my freshman year. And then I changed to a spider at the very end of my freshman year. And used that for a while, and then now I'm in a Scotty, but it's kind of got the same look and feel as that spider. And yeah, that's changed my putting for sure. I don't think I'll ever go back to a blade now, which if you would have told me that, you know, a few years ago, I would have told you you're crazy. But no, I haven't really changed my grip that much. I mean, I kind of tinker with it, you know, every now and then. But yeah, the putter change has been huge. So traditional, yes, sir. Okay. Yeah.
Does it surprise you at all that I think all but one winner on the PGA Tour this year is in a in a mallet?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's kind of seems like the best putters are mallets now. I think it's just so much easier to roll it online consistently. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I think I saw something like a couple weeks ago, like five of the last six winners have all been spiders. It's just pretty nuts. But yeah, it seems like mallet's the name of the game now. So
I think you all got to be careful with it. They might look at it as in line with anchoring if it.
Yeah, spotting that much, I know, but. Right? No kidding.
So you've won two Big 12s. You have three wins now, Cabo, two Big 12s. So you've definitely know how to win the big tournament. But this year it goes to Prairie Dunes. How much do you know about that golf course, and, you know, considering all the history they've had there and being a Perry Maxwell, like how much would you love to win one at that particular spot?
Yeah, it would be awesome. Coach Bratton's been talking about it a lot, just how difficult the green complexes are there and how bad the weather can kind of be and how windy it can be. So yeah, I hope it's hard. I hope it's a really good test. I hope the scores are high. And I think that brings out the best players when the weather's like that and with greens like that. It sounds like whoever's the best player there, whoever's playing the best is going to win that week. So yeah, I'm really excited. I heard a lot of good things about it. And yeah, I heard the greens are pretty nuts. So
they also have, from what I remember in 2014 when the NCAAs were there, they have massive rattlesnakes. Have you ever run into rattlesnakes in your time in the woods? And
yeah, all the time, especially in Texas. We have a lot in West Texas.
Do you know how to neutralize them?
Usually you just shoot them. It usually works. But yeah, I don't know what you would do on the golf course.
You don't
course.
Have that option. Yeah, you don't have that option when you're in the middle of the second round.
Maybe a 3-iron, I guess.
I mean, I should have thought about that. Pretty easy way to get rid of him. So you guys are coming off winning the NCAA championship, like huge mm-hmm. deal, one of many at Oklahoma State. And so Coach Bratton, Holder, all those guys, like they have familiarity with what you do the next year. But how do you guys stay motivated when the biggest goal for everyone has already been accomplished?
Yeah, I feel like that has been a little tough. I mean, it's felt like a little bit this year we've kind of felt like, you know, when we step on the first tee that we're like front runners already, you know. And so, because we've had a couple bad finishes, and I think this week was really big for us because we kind of got together as a team and said that we need to forget about last year because it doesn't matter anymore. You know, we have a new goal this year, and that's to go do the same thing again in May. So yeah, I think this was big for us this week because just kind of resetting and we want to prove again that we're the best team in the country. You know, Auburn and Virginia have been playing really well. And Auburn's been getting the best of us the last few weeks. So excited to tee up with them again. I don't know when we play with them again, but
I think potentially Augusta, or maybe, actually, yeah. I don't know if you guys
actually,
see them
I don't
again.
I don't think you guys see
them again the rest of the year.
I don't think we
looking
do
at
either.
Your schedule, because you guys play Palma Valley. They're not there. They're at Valspar. They're at the Hate this weekend. So yeah, it'll be.
I don't think we
play. Maybe an NCAA championship battle at La Casa.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, but now, we're just. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you mentioned you guys played poorly a couple events. Now, one of those events, you and Ethan weren't even there. You were in Singapore. Mm-hmm. So I think that helps, or that hurts your ranking, and that helped you guys in terms of maybe being a little bit more under the radar. But
yeah. Yeah. Me, Fang, and Philip were gone that week. We try not to look at the ranking too much because, I mean, it really doesn't matter, you know. We all have one goal, and it's to go do the same thing at La Casa again this May, which we're looking forward to. So,
now, what you mentioned team goals. What individual goals do you have over the next couple of years?
Yeah. Watching Fang win the British Am and get to play in these majors, I think I want to do some of the same. So I think I went in the national championship individually. Would be awesome. And then hopefully win the USAM this summer. I think those are definitely my two big goals. I think those are the two biggest tournaments that we play as amateurs. So, winning one of those or both of those would be awesome. And definitely at the top of my goal list for this year. So
was that the toughest kind of quote unquote loss on the golf course you had, losing to Niall in that match at Olympic?
Yeah, it was. That one stung a lot just because I felt like my game was in such a good spot that week. He played great and made some really, really big putts coming down the stretch. So hats off to him. Then he had his whole crowd with him too. And I definitely wanted to beat him in front of those guys. That one stung for sure. That sucked. Just because I did feel like my game was in a good enough spot to be able to go win. But that's how it goes sometimes. So, had another shot at it this summer. So
now, lastly, winning Cabo, you get another PGA Tour exemption into the worldwide technology this fall. You've played one already at 3M last summer, almost made the cut. What did you learn that week in terms of how your game stacked up and then where you have the biggest gaps to make up before you do turn pro and get out there?
Yeah, I played pretty nice that week. Just something I noticed playing with some other guys and, you know, practice rounds and in the tournament. I actually played with David Ford, which was cool just because, you know, we're buddies and I've known him. But yeah, it was a... for me, I just noticed with around the greens was the biggest struggle for me. Just the easy up and downs, those guys, so good. I mean, easy up, they're getting easy up and down every time. And just taking a lot of stress off themselves around the greens, especially with the easier chips. And that's the biggest thing I noticed. And then I couldn't make a putt that week, which happens, you know, it's sometimes you're just not going to make any putts. Yeah, that was an awesome experience and definitely got a little taste of what tour life is like. And it's really nice. And hopefully we get to be on that stage one day and get to play with those guys more, because it was a lot of fun. But yeah, really looking forward to going back to Cabo in November. Cabo is one of my favorite places to go. It's sweet. So vibes there are awesome. Food's good. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to going back.
And it sounds like you have a great place to stay when you go back as well.
Yeah, exactly. that's nice.
One other thing in talking about the greens, do you feel like some college setups might be a little tougher than the PGA Tour, or is that just blasphemy?
I don't know. I mean, I think some of the... Gosh, dang.
You're good.
I think... some of the courses we play, yeah, the greens aren't the best. But, I mean, most of the courses we play, the courses are pretty mint. So, I don't know if I would go as far to say that. But there's definitely a few venues where you could definitely argue that, where greens are a little rough. And you have so many players, especially on 36-hole days, during the end of the day, they can get a little toasty. But most of the venues we play are awesome. They do a great job with our schedule. And, you know, Coach Fratton always tries to have us playing the best courses. So I think he does a good job with that too. I don't know if I'll go as far in saying that it's harder in college than it is on tour. But maybe, I don't know. Yeah. But
what's the hat? I'm trying to make
it's
it
just
out.
It's called Lobos. Okay. It's just like a... it's like an outdoor company, and it's just like some antlers of a deer on there. So,
what would you do if you accidentally showed up to a tournament and you didn't have any Oklahoma State hats and you were wearing that? What would Coach do?
He wouldn't like that. I think I would be on the Stairmaster when we got back home. So.
is that the traditional punishment? Just climbing stairs?
Yeah, 300 floors.
Could it be more than that though, depending on the violation?
It could be. It's usually anywhere from 250 to 400. It kind of depends on
how often have
the
you
severity. My freshman year I did a lot. but I've been good. I don't think I've had to do one this year. And I think maybe I did one last year. So I've been good. But yeah freshman
you're,
year
you're
I was
maturing,
on,
you're growing up.
Yeah. Freshman year, me and Gavin were on that thing all the time.
I think that's a Coach Holder original, because I know Bruce Hepler does that as well at Georgia Tech. Obviously, he's from the same coaching tree. But I mean, heck, if it leads to stronger legs and, you know, more distance and better golf, I mean, you might as well.
Yeah, it definitely does, and it definitely makes you not want to mess up again. It sucks. It's really hard. So,
well. On that note, I won't keep you too much longer so you're not late for workouts and have to climb stairs. But Preston, appreciate the time, and we'll enjoy watching you the rest of the year.
Yeah, thanks, Brentley. Enjoy it.